Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, boldly this morning I come and ask that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your truth will touch our hearts and our minds, and then we'll see what we need in you. Lord, help me deliver that message that you use my heart and my mind. Use my voice to speak your words. Satan, you have no part here today. And I rebuke you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. So you see, I was kind of titled this, it's like Judgment Day. And I hope to bring that into this message to you today. But where I get that from, before I even get started, I'm going to tell you, Judgment Day is like revival to the church. It starts there. So we've been studying in our Sunday school class the book of Acts. And if you would read the first four chapters of the book of Acts, you would see great progress in the church. You'd see boldness, unity, generosity, signs and wonders and miracles happening. They're growing by the thousands, not just by the hundreds. The church is growing by the thousands. And it's documented there. But our text today is going to be the Acts chapter 5. We're going to do the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 5. Hey, as I said, it was going to be in Acts chapter 5, but we have to start out with just a little bit of the last of chapter 4. It's like I say, if you only read the first four chapters of the book of Acts, you would have a false sense that the Christians and the church had it going on. They had it good. But then comes chapter 5. But as we start out in 4, it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that he owned, and he brought the money and put it at the disciples' feet. Wow, what an offering, huh? How would you like that if the offering that you gave was documented in the Bible itself and forever and ever? You would think, hey, I'm doing pretty good. But then in the hearts of men and people, in the hearts of people, when something like that happens, we always say, the people, some of them that say, I want that recognition myself. Maybe they can note me as a big giver. It's all the impression that we always want to give. We always want to give an impression that we're something really that we're not. And that happens many, many times. So then now we'll get into chapter 5. It's about Ananias and Sapphira. And they said, hey, they got all that credit. They got everybody looking at them. I want some of that too. I think it's called pride. I'm pretty sure. But look what it says. It says, now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife, They also sold a piece of property. And with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest to the disciples' feet. And so there's nothing really wrong with that. That would be great. That'd be awesome. Sell some property you have. Give half to the church. That's great. That's good. But where they made the mistake they lied about it. And I hate to say that too many times by myself, so I want you guys to say that with me. They lied. Yeah, they lied to cover up greed and pride. So I know, here I am up here with a very tough and touchy subject. Nobody wants to come to church and talk about money. Oh, we need money. Give. You should never be pressured anywhere that you go to give to God. And maybe sometimes the church does need to talk about money. Maybe we don't talk about money enough. And I know the 10%, that's a good standard to kind of go by through the old covenant. But you might be missing out on what God has for you. Because you still want to hold on down here while you're trying to reach up here. And that's not possible. You know what you should give to the church? What God tells you. And if he's not telling you, it's a good time to ask. And I know. I personally know. Sometimes we don't want to ask. Sometimes we wish we wouldn't ask. And I've never told this before, and I don't want to tell you this to make myself look good or important, but I had a situation like this where I was doing a prison ministry. And it got so big that I needed help. So I called on a motorcycle group of Christians that I knew called the Unchained Ministry to come in and help me. And there was one of the guys, he was just on fire for the Lord, and he loved, it was just him. It was just him all over, and he loved it. And everything about the group of motorcycle guys. Except he had one problem. He didn't have a motorcycle. And that's hard to do. You can't walk alongside a bunch of Harleys, go to the prison to talk about Jesus. And I said, golly, God, man, what can I do? I said, give him your Harley. I said, huh? And then my wife even said more than that. But I drove it to him. And I handed him the keys and the title. And I never looked back. Knowing, no, I didn't think, well, if I do this, God's going to give me a new bike. Didn't think that. I just thought it'd be the last time I ever ride. And it was. And I'm good with that. Because it was what God told me to do. It's what God told me to give. Don't limit yourself to 10%. Okay, I got way off. I like that it says there in 2, it says, with his wife's full knowledge. I'm going to blame it on her. They probably got together and said, hey, the church has got some great needs and we got that property over there. Let's sell it. Give the money to the church. And they probably put it on the market and found out they was getting 3 times more than what they was really expecting. And they probably said, we don't have to give them all the money, which is true. But we can just say that we did. That's a lie. But where he says there in 2, where it says kept back, that ancient Greek word that was used there for kept back means to misappropriate. But then the only other time you'll see it in the New Testament is in Titus chapter 2, verse 10, and it says to steal. So they kept back. They stole some money from God. And made himself look good. Let's go to verse 3. Now here's where Ananias was called in by Peter. Probably thinking he was going to get the big pat on the back. Doing all of the great work of giving. And you're such an important man in the church. And we're really going to look up to you. And that's kind of what maybe Ananias expected. But look, boy. I hope you can see it. Because look what happened when he met up with Ananias. Peter, when he looked up with Ananias. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept back for yourself some of the money you received from the land? Wow. But then when I think about it and I see that, how'd Peter know that? If you would look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9 especially, it tells us that it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, the gift of knowledge. So God was talking to Peter about this. I understand fully that gift of the Spirit they call it knowledge because my mother had it. And I never understood it as I was growing up when I would come home after being out doing something. I'd come home and she would say, do you mind telling me what you've been doing? Nothing. But then she would continue to tell me what I'd just done. And I've never figured out how she was able to do that until I seen that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Peter showed it to us here. Notice also, too, that Peter said that you lied to the Holy Spirit as a person. You lied to the Holy Spirit. He didn't accuse, the church didn't accuse. You didn't lie to the church. You didn't lie to the disciples. You lied to the Holy Spirit. And on there at verse 4, and it says you lied to God, meaning that the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, he lied to God, he lied to Jesus, he lied to the Holy Spirit. So where I'm trying to go with this, honesty. We're often not honest with ourselves. They used dishonesty to cover up greed and pride. We can cover up a lot of things. We can give the impression that I'm spiritual, that I'm holy. I can give you the impression that I read the Bible all the time and I'm wearing my knees out with prayer when really that I'm not. I can say or make you think that I'm a great Christian, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I can let you think that I have it all together and that everything's good and we hide it deep down. When we're not okay. We're not okay without Jesus Christ. And come to an honest relationship with Him. You want to be an alcoholic the rest of your life? Don't come to Jesus. You want to stay in where you're at? Keep lying to Jesus. Happens all the time and even real easy. I'm going to probably guess there's somebody here today that when they was on their way to church this morning, they was arguing with your husband or your wife. Oh, don't act like it don't happen. Come on now. Or a kid. And then, when you pull into church parking lot, that holy Christian veil comes over your face and everything's great when you walk in the door. And somebody asks you, how have you been? Oh, I'm great. You just lied. And what's wrong with saying, oh, well, we were having a little argument on the way to church this morning. Will you pray with me? I'm sure you'll find somebody that will. I don't think you're going to find somebody that says, oh, you're so unspiritual, just get away from me. It's not that kind of church. Because we're God's family. I better get going. I'm going to be on the time police is going to be on me if I don't keep going. Okay. And look what he says there in 4. And Peter comes right out and tells him, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? Yeah, Satan put it in his heart. Satan puts things in our heart. But it's our choice. Like Brother Jerry back there always tells me, it's our choice. You can't blame the devil for your sin. I remember there was a show on back in the 70s. Anybody remember Flip Wilson? Woo, devil made me do it. No. He might have gave you the idea, but it was up to you. Now, I know y'all been looking at 5 there, and I don't hear like what's going to happen in 5. And I thought about having some props up here today. We could have a couple body bags over here. Maybe a casket or something down. No, I hope, no, none of you are going to fall dead today. It's not the church's job. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and he died. And a great fear seized all who heard what had happened. And then some of the young men came forward, wrapped up his body and carried him out. Peter was probably shocked too. He didn't do it. God's not in the business of just striking us dead. At least I hope not. I hope nobody falls over here dead today. But if I did, I couldn't think of a better place to die. I think he was just overwhelmed. And he probably had a heart attack. Overwhelmed that his sins were exposed. A lot of times we don't mind sinning as long as we don't get caught. When I was out in the world and anybody asked me if I'd been in and staying out of trouble, and I haven't been caught yet. And it's that way with us. And so we hide a lot of things in our life that digs at us and eats at us and keeps us from a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no other way to do it. Oh, boy. Now here we go again. About 3 hours later, his wife came in. Not knowing what had happened, Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." I don't know what kind of marriage they had, whether she just forced him into it. That was a joke. I got a few laughs. That's good. But don't agree to test God with your wife. Don't agree to test God with your husband. If they want to do that, just tell them they go on their own. But nine. But Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." And at that moment, she fell down at her feet and died. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Like Judgment Day. But I think there's some good about this story, and is if Ananias is a Hebrew name, God is gracious is what it means. And Sapphira in Arabic means beautiful. So did beautiful and the grace of God make it to heaven? Can't say for sure, but I'm going to say probably so. Because thank God our sins don't cause us to lose our salvation. Denying Jesus Christ loses your salvation. Did I just give you a license to sin? I hope not. But some of us do pretty good sinning without a license, so it's up to you. But look there at verse 11. And this is really one of the first times that you'll see the word church in the New Testament. It says, "A great fear seized the whole church and all who had heard." It got a little bit harder to serve Jesus. It takes a little more commitment. That commitment sometimes is hard. And as I look through Acts and I see and I compare that church of the first century and the church today, we've drifted a long way. I wanted to show you some of the commitments that the first Christians had to do. The 12 disciples. I got a list here. I wrote down how they all died. It says Matthew was beheaded with a sword. Mark was dragged through the streets until he died. Luke hung on an olive tree in Greece. John died of natural causes, but only after being boiled in oil. Wow. Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. James beheaded in Jerusalem. James the Less was thrown from the top of the temple about 100 feet. Didn't kill him. Then they beat him to death. Philip was hung. Bartholomew was whipped till death. Andrew was crucified while preaching at the top of his lungs about Jesus Christ. Thomas was ran through with a spear. Jude killed by arrows. Matthias was stoned and beheaded, as the same as was Barnabas. And Paul, beheaded in Rome. Do we have that commitment in our life? Are you willing to die? Because of the days and times that we live in, it could be tomorrow. None of us have tomorrow guaranteed. And I know there's some here that say, I know I need to get it right. I knew I needed to get this right with Jesus, but I'm going to wait. I got time. I'm going to wait. I've said it myself when I was young. I'll wait. But what we need to do, and I want you to think about this morning, I want you to become honest with your life to God. You can't make it any other way. God's the only way. He can deliver you. He can heal you. And most importantly, He can save your life with an eternity of Him. If you missed that point from me today, I didn't do my job. It's all about Jesus. I want you to look. If we're not honest with ourselves first and honest with ourselves with God, I want to bring you to the scariest verses in the Bible. To me, scariest verse in the Bible. See it there, don't you? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He's talking to Christians here now. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, Did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons. And in your name, perform miracles. Christian people who have lied to themselves and say, I can do this on my own. Look what he said. Then I will plainly tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me. That's a ticket to an eternity in hell. When they thought they were Christians. When they thought they had it all together. When they thought it was all about them. Church. If we want to receive revival in this church, we're going to have to first become honest with ourselves. Because it's not until after the cleansing of the church that we have revival. And that revival is like Judgment Day. Let him cleanse us. Come to him. Come on up, guys. I'm on time today. Are you with me? Are you with me? I love each and every one of you. You're my church family. You're my people. I know there's people in here I could call on at any time. And they'd gladly be there. Let's find that love that Jesus wanted to show us. Today's your day. Come down and pray with me. Come down and pray with this church. Come down and pray for yourself.